Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Good morning, Richo.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well indeed, thank you.
That is good. I had a caller remind me today that you were one of the portfolios that you had in the Hawke government. You were the environmental minister, or the minister for the environment for a while, were you not?
That's right.
And they made this comment in reference to the decision that has been made in recent days. In fact, this week, there were two decisions made by Tanya Plibersek. The first was to, well, she didn't say no to the gold mine at Blaney, but made it very difficult for it to go ahead. So therefore, the people that were going to go ahead with it have turned around now and said, no, they won't pursue that. But she also gave the green light to Mike Cannon-Brookes for the solar farm in the Northern Territory. But the solar farm in the Northern Territory is going to send power to Singapore rather than keep the power here in Australia. And, of course, Mike Cannon-Brookes is going to be given government subsidies to help him get this solar farm up and running. It's a huge, huge area, Richo. 120 square kilometres. That's 10 kilometres one way by 12 kilometres the other way of solar panels. There's 800 kilometres of transmission lines. There's 4,300 kilometres of undersea cables to get it to Singapore. Would you have made the same decision here as Tanya Plibersek in your day as Environment Minister?
Probably not, but times have changed dramatically, and so you can't compare the decisions. You know, when the time difference is so many years, I don't think that's possible to do.
Richo, do you think that something like this, the decision being made by Tanya Plibersek, they can say, yes, you can, you know, it goes ahead, but you can't sell the power to Singapore. You've got to keep the power here in Australia. If there's leftover power, sure, sell that to Singapore, but it's got to be, you know, done to look after Australians first, because we're short on power, Richo, at the moment.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can always deal with more power. Although it has to be said, we are self-sufficient at the moment. We do survive.
There's a story here, a story there. There was a story in the front page of the Telegraph, I think it is today, about Peter Dutton, and Peter Dutton saying that these seven locations for nuclear power stations is going to employ at least 70% of the people that are currently working in the coal industry. That would be good news if you were one of those 6,600 people, I think it is, that are employed in the coal industry here in New South Wales and Queensland.
Yeah, it would be, except I think it's a pretty rosy picture he's painting. I don't think it'll be that many. You can understand why he would want to paint that picture, but sure. I don't think that's how it'll turn out. So I still think there'll be some very disappointed people when that time comes, if it comes.
Let's talk about costings if we can. I mean, we've got renewables versus nuclear. So that's the two policies that the two sides will be taking to the polls whenever it be, the next election. Renewables and nuclear. But on both sides of politics, on the Labor side and on the Liberal side, we have absolutely no costings whatsoever. I mean, there have been questions asked of both Anthony Albanese and Chris Bowen on many occasions as to how much these renewables are costing, how much the wind farms are costing, all these sort of things. And they just never give any answers. Peter Dutton's exactly the same. How much is all this plan for nuclear going to cost? They never give any answers.
No, they don't give any answers, partly because they don't know the answers, and partly because they don't want to know. I think, they get themselves stuck with a certain position, and then they don't know how to get away from it. And that's what's happening now.
Would governments that you've worked under or worked in, would they have taken the same attitude? We can do this, but we won't cost it?
I would hope not. I think you should never do it. Costing, you've got to do costings. If you don't do costings, you don't know what's going to happen. Things can get right out of hand, and you can lose fortunes. So I just don't think that that's doable or possible.
Well, I suppose Examples put forward are Snowy 2.0 with Malcolm Turnbull. His original costings was $2 billion. Well, we know that's been completely blown out of the water. And at the moment, it's just still sitting there. We've got to $12, maybe $14 billion. It's still not finished. So we know that the costs are going to continue to blow out. So I put that forward as an example whereby, okay, there were costings, there were original costings that were told to us, this is what it's going to cost, but it's just absolutely blown out. Is that a better approach than not being told any costings whatsoever?
Well, no. The real thing that should happen here is you should get proper costings done. They shouldn't be done off the back of an envelope. They should be done properly, you know, and they just weren't. And there's no substitute for doing it properly. None whatsoever.
Let's talk about Teflon Don in New South Wales. Are you amazed that Don Harwin still has his job come this Saturday?
Staggered, actually. I think the cock-up is so big that more heads than his should roll, that's for sure.
Well, there was a story, I think it's today, saying that, look, they never did go as far as they thought they might go in reference to taking on the Electoral Commission. But the process, apparently they spent $100,000 in this process. The question today is, who approved the expenditure of that $100,000?
Yeah, only a mug would do so. And whoever's head it was, that head must roll. But there's probably more heads than one involved here.
Well, the state opposition leader, Mark Speakman, has stood by Don Harwin, despite the ongoing anger among Liberals. How long can this happen for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. Why Speakman would even tolerate the idea of the bloke being around is beyond me completely.
Can you see Speakman being the leader that takes the Liberal Party in New South Wales to the next election?
Actually, I can, because there's so little talent in that team,
right,
that you wonder who would replace him.
Okay.
I mean, it's a very sad thing to say.
It is, but, isn't it?
You look at the cattle we're talking about, it's pretty hard to come up with some star of the future about to burst into some sort of fame. I can't see it.
Richo, politicians, I mean, we see it almost daily now on our television, hear it on our radio and read it in the newspapers about what's going on in America, the nastiness of that campaign. I mean, there's name-calling on both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, and it's happening now in Australian politics. There's name-calling. I mean, I think it was the Prime Minister accused Peter Dutton of nastiness over the Coalition's ongoing attacks on visas granted to Palestinians and the security risks presented by unchecked individuals who arrive here. It's just name-calling these days by both sides of politics, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but it's always been there. You know, the resorting to name-calling is so easy. It beats the hell out of coming up with a policy, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but you say it's always been there, but Australians, I think, are just fed up to the back teeth now of it, because we have so much news thrown at us now in the 24/7 news cycle. It happens then, you know about it now. I mean, it's just so quick. And I think Australians are just absolutely fed up with the name-calling of both sides of politics and nothing being achieved.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, but what do you do about it? It'll just continue. You know, there are some things that are set in stone, mate. This is one of them.
Yeah, right. Sad state of the nation, isn't it?
Sad indeed, but true.
Yeah, okay. Farmers are feeling disgusted after comments by the Prime Minister at an agriculture awards dinner after banning the livestock trade. Did you read about this with his joke about what he made about, we had dinner, beautiful Australian beef, not the live export. We made sure it was dead. He said that towards the end of his scripted speech. Would he have ad-libbed that, or surely someone wouldn't have written that in his speech?
I'm sure that's an ad-lib, mate. I think that's just one of those little times when words pop out that shouldn't. It happens to all of us. I'm sure he regrets it.
I've got to say, unfortunately, these days, it doesn't matter what you say or when you say it, there seems to be a phone out either recording it audio or recording it with vision these days, Richard.
Yeah, look, you've got to be awfully careful when you open your mouth in politics these days. You'll be very careful. You know what's going to come out.
What's your thoughts in reference to what's going on with the visas, the people that we're welcoming from Palestine, in reference to Gaza? What's your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think I would like much more scrutiny than what we're getting at the moment. Now, I can understand why the scrutiny hasn't been there, because the situation is so dire and desperate for so many people. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, who's coming into our country, and do we really want that person? I'm not sure we're doing that properly.
Your thoughts about the Democratic Party, I'll call it, this week? Oh, gosh, they had everyone there, didn't they? They had Oprah, she turned up, and they had the two Obamas, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. I listened to what Michelle Obama had to say. She's very good up there and behind the podium. She's extremely, extremely gifted when it comes to oration, as is her husband.
I wish she was running. I think she's an absolute star. I think it's disappointing that she's not running. But Kamala Harris is no deal either, so we'll see how it goes. I as long as Trump's beaten, I don't care who beats him.
I just think it's some of the names he called Kamala Harris and got away with it. I mean, it just beggars belief, it really does. I mean, he's the king. He's the king of name-calling, mate.
Oh, he's a nasty piece of work, Trump. There's nothing about that, a nasty piece of work. So I never wish him well, ever.
There was a, I think it goes for the next 7 days or something, a Bush summit. It was started yesterday. There was the Prime Minister there, Peter Dutton was there, Tanya Plibersek was there, all sorts of people were there, and Gina Rinehart had her say. She's urged governments to stop putting major mining projects in the too hard basket, and she used words that we've heard Donald Trump use, Richo. Drill, baby, drill, is what she said. She unveiled a 6-point plan to boost Australia's defence capabilities. She presented her defence and economic blueprint. She did it in a video address at this National Bush Summit in Townsville yesterday, saying the billions of dollars generated by major mining projects could be used to build an Israeli-style Iron Dome missile deflection system. And what else did she say? She felt that we should have where was it? I was just referring to she was saying, you know, military personnel, we've got problems with military personnel, especially since the appalling public inquiry decision. We make military training compulsory. Make military training compulsory for most kids. I mean, national service. We go back to the days of national service, Richo. Drill, baby, drill, and the iron curtain. And what was the other thing? I mean, compulsory military service. Goodness me, what else is she going to come up with?
I don't know, but it's pretty obvious why she's not the Prime Minister. And it will never be.
Drill, baby, drill. All right, Richo, I'll let you go, mate. Good to talk to you as always.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate. See you later. We'll talk to you next week.